Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 54, Incident Response Playbooks. Last episode, we talked about monitoring and detecting security events. This episode is what happens next. Alice, the alert fires. Something bad is happening. What do you actually do?
And the most important thing I can say is, you figure that out before the incident happens, not during it. The worst time to write your incident response plan is while an attacker is actively downloading your client's case files. That's why you need playbooks, pre-written, rehearsed procedures for specific types of incidents. When something happens, you open the playbook and follow the steps. Adrenaline is high, information is incomplete, and having a checklist to follow is the difference between a contained incident and a catastrophe.
NIST updated their guidance on this recently, right?
They did. NIST SP 800-61 Revision 3 came out in April 2025, the first major update since 2012. The biggest change is that it now maps incident response directly to the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0. Instead of treating incident response as a standalone activity, it's integrated into the detect, respond, and recover functions we introduced last episode. The message is clear. Incident response isn't something that happens separately from your security program. It's part of it.
Right. So walk us through the life cycle. An incident happens. What are the phases?
Five phases. First, detection and analysis. This is where last episode's monitoring pays off. An alert fires. The on-call person triages it. Is this real or a false positive? What systems are affected? What data might be at risk? You verify using multiple data sources. Don't act on a single log entry. Then you classify severity. A successful admin login from an unknown country followed by document downloads is critical. That's all hands, right now. Unusual login patterns with no confirmed access is medium. Investigate within 4 hours.
Then what? You try to stop it.
Phase 2. Containment. Stop the bleeding without destroying evidence. There are two stages. Short-term containment is immediate. Block the attacker's IP, terminate compromised sessions, disable compromised accounts, isolate affected servers. Long-term containment is more surgical. Apply temporary patches, redirect traffic, set up enhanced monitoring while you prepare for the full fix.
And the evidence part. That's especially important for legal SaaS, isn't it?
Critically important. If client privileged data was exposed, you may need forensic records for regulatory notifications, insurance claims, or even litigation. Do not wipe or rebuild a compromised system before capturing the forensic image. That's a bit-for-bit copy of the affected system storage. Containment must preserve evidence, not destroy it.
Yeah. Phase 3.
Eradication. Remove the root cause. If malware was involved, rebuild affected systems from known good backups. If credentials were stolen, and we talked about this in episode 50 with workstation security, rotate every credential the compromised system had access to. Not just the ones you know the attacker used. Everyone. Because you can't be certain which credentials were accessed and which weren't. If a vulnerability was exploited, patch it across all systems, not just the one that was hit.
Then recovery, I assume.
Phase 4. Restore systems to normal operation. But, and this is key, monitor recovered systems with extra scrutiny for days or weeks after. Attackers commonly leave back doors. Secondary access paths that activate after the initial breach looks resolved. You think you've cleaned everything up? The attacker has a shell script set to phone home in 72 hours.
And the final phase is the retrospective.
Phase 5. Post-incident learning. Within a week, while memories are fresh, do a blameless retrospective. What happened? When did we detect it? How long until containment? What worked in the playbook? What didn't? What changes would prevent this from happening again? Then update the playbook. Every real incident teaches you something your hypothetical planning missed.
Right. Let's talk about specific scenarios. What does a data breach playbook look like for a legal SaaS platform?
Step 1. Contain. Isolate affected systems. Terminate all sessions for compromised accounts. Block attacker access. Step 2. Assess scope. Which client's data was accessed? What type? Case documents, communications, PII. This determines your notification obligations. Step 3. Preserve evidence. Forensic images before any cleanup. Step 4. Legal assessment. Engage legal counsel to determine your notification obligations, because they vary by jurisdiction.
And those notification timelines are tight.
Very tight. Under GDPR, you have 72 hours to notify the supervisory authority. Singapore's PDPA gives you 3 calendar days. U.S. state laws vary, but typically 30 to 90 days. And missing the GDPR window doesn't just look bad. The regulation imposes fines of up to 20 million euros, or 4% of global revenue, for serious breaches. Missing the notification deadline is treated as an aggravating factor.
And there's an extra layer for legal platforms, right? The attorney-client privilege issue.
The ABA issued formal opinion 483, establishing that lawyers must notify clients when a breach exposes material confidential information. And the NYC Bar's opinion 2024-3 expanded on this, clarifying that the ethical obligations extend to the technology platforms lawyers choose to use. Here's a crucial point, though. A data breach doesn't automatically waive attorney-client privilege. The privilege survives the breach. But the firm, and by extension, the platform, must take affirmative steps to reaffirm privilege designations and prevent unauthorized use of any leaked material.
Yeah. What about communication during the incident? What do you say publicly?
4 rules. 1. Designate a single spokesperson. Inconsistent statements create legal liability. 2. Say what you know, not what you speculate. We detected unauthorized access and are investigating. Is safe. We think it was a Russian hacker group. Is not. And you may have to retract it. 3. Don't promise what you haven't verified. No data was compromised. Is a statement you might have to walk back. Our investigation is ongoing. Is honest. 4. Document everything. Every communication, every decision, every timestamp. This is evidence for regulators, insurers, and potentially for litigation.
And then there's legal hold. Preserving evidence for potential legal proceedings.
When a breach may involve litigation or regulatory investigation, you implement a legal hold. That means no automated log rotation that deletes incident period data. No system rebuilds that destroy forensic evidence. No email deletion by anyone involved. Forensic images stored securely. Failure to preserve evidence after a known incident can result in sanctions and adverse inference rulings. Meaning the court assumes the destroyed evidence was unfavorable to you? That's separate from any penalties for the breach itself.
Right. And these playbooks, they're not write-once documents.
Review quarterly. Update after every real incident. After major infrastructure changes, after regulatory changes, and after tabletop exercises. Those are simulated incidents where your team walks through the playbook. The goal isn't a perfect document. It's a rehearsed team. A team with a decent playbook they've actually practiced will outperform a team with a perfect playbook sitting in a folder nobody's opened.
Next episode, disaster recovery and business continuity. What happens when the problem isn't a breach but a complete system failure and your clients can't access their case files?
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistants. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.